Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet, and you are watching Shooting. I don't curse, so Shooting Poop. Yeah.
Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer. Shut up. You're listening to Shoot the Shit podcast. Enjoy.
What's going on?
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ain't nothing wrong with being always being ready.
Always ready. You know, there was a wrestler that used that. Some kind of Long Island asshole.
An indie god. He's an indie god.
Had a hat just like that.
Yep.
You look great, buddy.
Dude, do you get this ignorant shit from?
I actually bought this directly from Matt Cardona.
He's putting, I thought it was pro wrestling tees. I was about to say you're putting Ryan's kids through college.
I'm going to do a fucking intervention. Stop giving these motherfuckers your money for stupid shit. That looks like something from fucking Party City.
You know, it's
look like Illinois Jones. You look like Illinois Jones. Indiana Jones. Come on, man. Come on.
I don't want to talk.
Next time
about
you buy
quality.
Dumb, the next time you buy, next thing you buy stupid, I'm driving up there. I'm bum rushing in the door, and I'm taking a fucking belt. That's how I'm gonna punish you. I'm gonna come in. I'm gonna take a belt. I'm dead fucking serious.
You just gotta wait for the next show.
I'm gonna
he goes
roll
to.
Right over your big ass, right downstairs, and grab the most expensive belt you got, and walk out the door like. Stop buying dumb shit. Grown man buying fucking toy. Quit putting Matt Cardona's kids through college, man. He ain't even going. None of his kids are going to college.
He don't even have kids. College.
That's not nice. They might.
Then why are you giving his fuck? They won't. That bitch ain't getting pregnant. Come on, dog.
Yeah, she's not.
You see how much
she's
money
not.
She puts into that body? No. They might have a surrogate.
Yeah.
She ain't doing it. She's not
going to do the work.
They have no. I talk about woo, my motherfucking ass. Stop giving that motherfucker your money.
Always ready. Hit. Go ahead and hit the entrance, man.
Stop
That's
it.
A good one.
All right. So speaking of things, you're probably going to want me to stop. You guys ready for the dad joke of the week?
Oh God, I
hit
forgot
me.
About this.
It's got to be funnier.
So
than
how can? Okay. Oh yeah, this is a good one. So how can a room full of married people be empty?
Because they're all dead inside. I don't know.
Because there's not a single person there.
Yeah, do another one. That was dumb. Pick another one.
Okay, so you said you wanted to
do
one?
God.
I got one more. So the other day, Matthew wanted to know what it was like to be a parent. So I woke him up at 2 a.m. to tell him my sock came off.
That's a good one. Stop buying dumb shit.
Oh, you gotta love it. Gentlemen, stop buying dumb shit might be the title of this episode. But
it's a good fucking title.
It's a good title.
And a good lesson.
Talking about titles and lessons, you know, let's get into a little bit of rumors. Let's start the night off with rumors. We're going to be some gossipy people real quick. People have noticed that the world's most dangerous man, Mr. Ken Shamrock, now has merchandise
bullshit.
WWEshop.com.
All right, John, you good?
Hey, man, I couldn't get into a cage. That fucker's stronger than I am. He still looks like a beast at 50-whatever years old.
Yeah, dude, if he was all jacked up on cal steroids, you could look like that, too.
Or whatever you say that Hammerstone takes so where he gets pimples on his back.
Oil-based. They're oil-based steroids. Ken's in that top echelon moneymaker, though, so he's probably on HGH with a little bit of TES mixed in for, you know, chest hair and shit.
This has been Sean's steroid talk.
Sean's steroid talk.
You're talking steroids with the wolf. Gentlemen, what do we think about Ken Shamrock back with the WWE, possibly looking at an induction to the Hall of Fame? I mean, what other reason does he have to sign a Legends contract right now?
Can I please go first on this one?
Shoot.
Cool. Number one, stay the fuck home, Ken. You weren't that good to begin with. Oh. Two, you're a half-ass MMA fighter and got your ass kicked most of the time. Three, if they put you in the fucking Hall of Fame, you're going to be right by Honky Tonk.
Wow.
Hot takes all night.
You have no fucking business being there. None whatsoever. Ronda Rousey would whip your ass.
Damn.
And we're done.
Oof. Dennis, I'm done. Would you like to counter?
Yeah, Dennis, please counter. Because I'd love to hear you argue the merits of Ken fucking Shamrock.
I do have control of the mic, so I can't always mute Sean. So but no, it's I'm not gonna do here. That. We don't do that, and I don't play like that. I'm you know what? Everybody has a right to their opinion, and I'm gonna give mine. I wholeheartedly,
especially when they're right.
Oh, good, get over yourself.
Dude, I guarantee you, most people think the way I think when it comes to Ken Shamrock.
Well, you know what? I'm not like most people, and I prefer.
I know that's why you're in that 25%.
Oh, it's better than Jovan's 27%, whatever he is this week.
Actually, 27% is 2% more than 25. So
that's right, 2%. We'll get on to that a little later too. Dennis, what's your take?
Out for free, baby. Just giving them out for free.
Well, I wholeheartedly disagree with Sean. And again, he's entitled to his opinion, but I think it's good to see him back. And I think he is I actually have no issue with him being in the Hall of Fame. In fact, I think he's more deserving than the Honky Tonk Man of a Hall of Fame induction.
That's shocking.
Oh man, I can't believe I was just about ready to say. Hold on, I'll type it because I can't see it.
Oh hell. He doesn't want to say it, ladies and gentlemen, but I will whenever he types it. No, I'm just, we don't want to get thrown off of air. Ken Shamrock is one of those weird ones, right? You either love Ken Shamrock or you hate Ken Shamrock. We just...
Yeah, we definitely can't say that on air.
It almost came out, too.
I can, 27%. But...
Told you, man.
But yeah, I mean, both of you guys are pretty much what the wrestling community is when it comes to Ken Shamrock. Either you like him, you appreciate the work that he's done, or you think he's utter garbage. I'm not going to sit the fence on this one, gentlemen. I am not a Ken Shamrock fan. I'm in the crowd with Sean. Silverwolf up there has kind of hit it on the head. His wrestling career was nothing to be, you know, applauded for. His WWE time was sucky. What was it? Maybe 2 years max.
It was about 2 years.
The biggest thing he did was put over The Rock, which everybody was doing at that time. Maybe the, what's that, Lions Den match was really cool. That's the only other thing that I could think of Ken Shamrock actually doing what was worth a damn. Then his time in TNA where you're like, God damn, just go home. Stay home. Why are you still doing this?
The guy's only claim to fame is that he beat a broken and beaten up Royce Gracie in UFC 2. That's it. That's all he ever did. And
that was after Royce beat him the first time.
Yeah. After Royce whooped his ass the first time.
Yeah. And
Gracie went into that fight injured.
Yeah.
Severely injured.
The best fighter with the last name Shamrock is not Ken, it's Frank. Sorry.
Opinion. Some.
Oh, dude, that is not an opinion. Ask any MMA watcher. Frank Shamrock, 10 times better.
I don't watch MMA, so yeah. Really, I'm going to yield to you guys on that. You guys know way more about that than I do. So.
Well, I mean,
Frank waxed an entire division and then fucking said, you know what, I'm going home.
And I'm not going to give you that, but I am going to make this point to what you said. You know, I joke around about Honky. I joke. I mean, he really did have one of the longest intercontinental reigns in history.
Up until Gunther.
He was a tag champ with Greg Valentine.
Actually, he never won the tag titles with Greg Valentine.
They didn't win.
No, he just had that intercontinental title reign.
Okay. But okay. Anyway, he had a long run, longer than a 2 year. I mean, if you only have to be in the business 2 years to get into the Hall of Fame and have a mid career and he did. Like you could, I understand that you like him, and I'm not going to give you shit about that. I mean, these are the kind of guys you like, and that's fine. I appreciate that. I really do. Cause somebody's got to fucking cheer for him and give him their money. But 2 years, a 2 year career in the WWE, losing most of your matches. He had an intercontinental reign for like what? 5 seconds.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, he had it for a couple of months. It was a few months.
Captain fucking literal. You know what I mean? It was a short reign. It was a very, very short reign.
Shorter than my 2%. Go ahead, Sean.
2 years. Tell me that doesn't make the Hall of Fame look.
Like it already looks?
Worse.
Yeah. He's there with the Birdman, Coco Beware.
Oh, God, no, he's not.
At least Coco could wrestle.
Coco could wrestle. Gentlemen, let's part our feelings aside. Get it, Sean. Get it, Wolf. It's the Wolf fly right there. Let's put our feelings on Ken Shamrock aside, man. It's soon to be seen if he actually does get inducted to the Hall of Fame, which, of course, at this time of year, any legend coming back on the Legends deal, you automatically think Hall, right? Hall of Fame is going to be in Philly, of course, side of WrestleMania this year. Give me one person that you guys want to see inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in Philly.
The wise man, Paul Heyman.
Very safe pick.
I was going to say that, but I'm going to go ECW as well, too. I'm going to go with Tommy Dreamer.
Is Dreamer still technically doing something with Impact?
He's their head booker.
He's backstage, but that won't stop them from inducting him.
No, because he's not physically wrestling.
No, he still wrestles. Yeah. But they've had a. Remember when?
But Impact will allow him to go and do that.
That's true, Mickey James.
They had Rick. The second time Flair got inducted as part of the Horsemen, he was with Impact at the time.
Mm. Well, and then you know Impact, and then it's played nice. The whole Mickey James at the Rumble thing.
Yep.
Hardcore country.
As far as we're talking about Philly originals, I mean, one that I feel like should be is Taz.
That's too close with AEW ties to have.
No, I understand. That's why I said should be. But I said should be. I don't think he will be because he's under the AEW banner.
Now, but
he should be.
Dennis, is Mikey Whipwreck in the Hall of Fame?
No. He's not.
We're talking ECW, man. You don't get much more ECW than Mikey Whipwreck.
Come on, dude. You motherfuckers are killing me. You are killing me.
Okay.
Next thing you know, he's going to throw out a comment about his background because he's going to have to carry us through the show.
Let me retract the Mike Whipwreck. That was funny.
Why don't we get the guy that swept the floors? We should get the guy that swept the floors from ECW. He should go in the Hall of Fame, too.
That was actually my next pick. Is Raven in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No, but he should be.
I wouldn't mind Raven being inducted in Philly.
He just got inducted. I think it was either earlier this year or last year. He got inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Raven. I mean, they're not going to. Oh, God, I'd lose my shit if they posthumously put in New Jack. I'd fucking die.
No.
They'll never put New Jack in.
He will not. No.
New Jack coming to WWE 2K24. Street fights just got a whole lot more hood.
Vince don't do hood.
Nope.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. There was rag Vince, N-word Vince. He's done hood, Bubba. Yes, he has.
During his ECW championship reign.
That was a white dude making fun. That just shows he's a racist. That ain't got
millions
shit,
and millions of dollars. Crime time. Vince does hood. Come on, man.
Dude, that's the worst fucking gimmick. Act. That's just awful.
I wrote a whole college
dissertation. Two black people who had their whole gimmick is stealing from people. That's
Way
to go.
What did you say, Javon? You did wrote a what?
I wrote a college the fuck is it called? Dissertation, whatever shit, on crime time and how the use of stereotypes in pro wrestling was leading to a bigger racial inequality issue. And I pointed to crime time with yo, grab your rollies and pop your 40s. It's time for crime time.
And you know, the guy who was doing that voiceover is about as white as white could be.
White as white bread, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta love crime time. JTG still tearing it up though on the indies. He's doing good. He looks good right now. He's fucking beastly.
Yeah, he does.
Good little sidetrack there. So yeah, hopefully we'll see some announcements coming out soon or some rumblings coming out soon of who may be inducted into that Hall of Fame class of Philadelphia. I know we've talked about maybe wanting to go. I know some of us are like, yeah, we can't go. I want to go. If I do, I'm sleeping on Joey's sofa. He can suck it. I don't care. But yeah, dude, I want to go. I want to try to make it happen. Just because Punk at Mania, it's gonna be nuts.
Speaking of Joey K, anybody heard from him?
Oh, I did. I have his actual. I have his official statement on why he's not here tonight. I'll give it in my final thought. Yeah.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Oh yeah, stick around. It's great. It's 100%.
To all our shooters out there. That's what you call a tease.
There you go. Don't tease me, gentlemen, with free agency. We have two potential hot spot free agents who are looking for greener pastures. Deonna Purrazzo, who is said to have a good working relationship still with TNA Impact, whose contract they believe runs out in the next few weeks, which is the very, very start of 2024. And Andrade, who Cien Almas, who is with El Idolo now, is with AEW. And they're saying his contract status is also coming up very early 2024. But he is not on such greener happy notes with AEW. Looks like they both might be on a move. If one of them leaves, where are they going? And who do you think is the one to actually go?
Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say if only one of the two is going to go, it's going to be Andrade. Because, I mean, you mentioned, Deonna's had a good working relationship with Impact. Impact's been good to her basically since she went back there after her, I don't know what you would call, I guess, disaster of a run in the WWE and stuff. And, I mean, to me, it makes the most sense. Clearly, he's not happy there. Clearly, they don't know what to do with him. And if anything, I think he should go back to, he should go wrestle down in Mexico, either with CMLL or AAA, because I think he's still pretty well known down there, can make a name for himself.
He's still Mexican. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's always going to be Mexican. I don't think that's ever
like 98%, I think.
Yeah, about
he's not like you, Jovan. He changes every week. You change every week, so.
Yeah, he's 2% shy of 100. What do you got up there, Silver Wolf?
Well, I don't think Perrazzo's going to leave. I mean, she may. But she's not, she's not heading back to WWE. I don't think they're interested. And I feel like that's a shame because I feel like that's a body image thing. You know, I think that was part of her struggle in WWE was they expect her to maintain a certain weight. And, it doesn't change the fact that the woman, she's still beautiful. And she can fucking legitimately go. And she's proven that. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I could see her going to AEW, but the problem with AEW is the women's division there is kind of a joke.
I absolutely agree with you there. I think their women's division, obviously, out of all the major organizations out there, is by far the worst. Because I mean, it seems they have all these women, and yet they only seem to find time for one women's match and maybe one segment. and
they're spending more. Yeah, they spend more time showing Sky Blue's ass than they do anything else. Really, I mean, you got Paige, you got Ruby Soho, you got Britt Baker, you got all these great talents, and it just seems like that they're only gonna, anytime that they run with anything, it's only gonna be, you know, two or three. Hater's gone, so we haven't seen her in a while. Serena Deeb's, you know, she's injured with and having the seizures. And then you have a talent like Anna Jay, who I feel like could be, like, really good. Like, I mean, her in-ring work is solid. Does she need work? Yeah, of course.
She's gotten a lot better, though. When she was getting her reps in, she was getting better.
I mean, she's still pretty young. I mean, she's still, what, early 20s, right?
Yeah.
And drop-dead gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she's got the attitude. She can cut a promo, I think.
Yeah.
But she's not going to shine there, given with all the upper echelon people that they brought in, like a Ruby Soho and Paige and Toni Storm and all these, you know, what you consider high-end female talents.
Yep.
You know, and then you got to think about, too, like, you know, the only other option would be WWE. And like, I think Deonna Purrazzo had her fill.
Yeah,
I would think I think if she were to go back to the WWE, I think with Triple H running things, you know, maybe. But even then, yeah, I think her best move would be resign with Impact because she's gonna get lost
in the shuffle there, buddy. Yeah. She'll be giving her backup to lesser talent.
She'll put over. She'll be there.
Somebody's got to.
Yeah,
I mean, and let's talk about that for a second. She's been down in NXT. Cutting these little, you sending out these little tweets or X's or whatever the fuck we're calling that ignorant shit now about, well, I'm working to be a diamond. So when I get there, no, bitch, you're learning how to wrestle. Just don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a little bit too much of this and not enough what you should be doing, which is getting reps in. Because if he was ready to go, he'd already be in the ring.
We won't see her until the Rumble, I think.
We won't see her. I don't think so. I don't even think she's going to be at the Rumble.
That's the earliest I'm thinking is the Rumble.
Yeah, I don't.
I think she shows up at the Rumble. I think that's her debut. I'm with.
I think this. Paul Levesque took one look at her and went, "What the fuck did we just do?"
Yeah, but I mean, then who would have vouched for her that much that they didn't even watch her wrestle before? Then
Cody.
Yeah,
it had to have been Cody.
I think it was one of those deals where, like, dude, there's nothing. But upside with her, I think we can all agree on that. I mean, she has the look. She's very, very athletic.
Yeah, you teach her how to wrestle. She can be a 5-foot player.
Physically strong. The promo needs work. She's not real believable when she's on the mic. It's a lot of that same bullshit of just kind of talking herself up. And I think the girl's biggest problem, it's all here. She just, in her head, she's ready. She's a star. She's already a star. And like I said, this is the WWE, man. It's sink or swim time.
Well, they had her on a 50-0 fucking winning streak. That's why she thinks she's a star. They Goldberged her ass.
But me and you both know that was over how many, what, a year and a half, 2 years she did those 50 matches?
Talk about fucking this.
She don't work house shows. They weren't doing house shows. All they do is TV.
But talk about being unfucking grateful, dude. You get a monster push. You get the Goldberg treatment. And as soon as your contract's out, you tuck tail and run to greener pastures, knowing that you're greener than fucking baby shit still.
And here's the thing, dude. And think of, wrap your brain around this, okay?
No loyalty.
She was a champ the entire time. Yet she never wrestled Britt. Jamie Hayter.
Nope.
Toni Storm.
Nope.
Who's some other ones? Upper echelon female talent that she didn't wrestle. It was like Red Velvet six times.
I don't think she ever wrestled.
Lila Gray like three times.
I don't think she ever wrestled.
She never wrestled Sheeta.
Nope.
Yeah.
Riho.
Riho.
Who's just came back.
Or whatever. Yeah. So
I don't think she even got in there with Nia. And Nyla Rose goes through whoever.
No, she did wrestle. I think Nyla won.
I think she did wrestle Nyla. But the reason why that worked is because Nyla really isn't all that good either.
Oh yeah, I know she's not great in ring, but she's a good look.
All power. I mean,
yeah, she's a monster.
You know, I mean, it yeah.
Awesome Kong 2.0.
Kong
was way better than Nyla Rose. Not even close.
Yeah, I love Awesome Kong.
I did too. I didn't enjoy her Karma run, but Awesome Kong was great.
But you know, like I say, and then with Andrade, man, I think, dude, if he don't go back to Mexico, he should go to Japan. He has the talent, the build, the size, the attitude. They put somebody with him over there. He will get over in Japan because the guy can flat out work his ass off.
He actually, he's been over there before because I think that's actually where, wasn't he the first Intercontinental Champion?
Yeah, he's a member of the LIJ, which is in AEW too with his brother Rush and Kalisto. But he's in the original Ingobernables, which was a Mexican staple that Japan brought over after somebody took a tour there with Naito and all of them. He's part of that group technically, so he could work in New Japan easy. He can go back to CMLL and put on matches and get that out of his system, because I know he wants to go back home for a little bit, do some stuff with his home promotion, because that's always going to be his first one. CMLL is where he cut his bones, where his family cut his bones. You know, he wants to get over there.
And he's a huge fucking star there. Huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's because in Mexico, dude, in Lucha Libre, it's all about the lineage, family name.
Yeah.
And those
Japan and Mexico are the only two places where that kind of shit is. Yeah, it's just different. It's just different.
You're just carnies here in the U.S. Over there, you're respected in Mexico and Japan. Here, you're carnies. Fucking carnies.
And to be completely honest with you, going back to Deonna Purrazzo, I am going to say this. I think that Scott, what's his name from TNA?
Damore.
I think he knows what he has there, and I think he'll
open up the
checkbook. He's going to open the checkbook.
And if they can keep her there, they're going to try to keep her there because she's a staple, man. I mean,
he's got the best women's division in wrestling. He has to keep her, hands down.
In my opinion, he's got the best wrestling show in wrestling.
People just need to watch. Hopefully, the TNA rebrand helps.
They got to get on a bigger station.
I think they're going to. The rumor is that's why they're going back to TNA.
Which would make that would make a lot of sense.
TNA did have their TV deal in the works. Which is paramount.
They're going back. Yeah. So that's the rumor that I heard, which is why they were going back they were embracing the TNA because it's just, you know, more recognizable than Impact.
Yeah.
You can say TNA to the layman fan and
they're going
to
know.
Remember it. If you say Impact, they don't know, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Well, that's because TNA, you know, we have a lot of people who are big time stars now in other places, and they are related to TNA. That you kind of think of them as TNA guys. Talking about big people in big places, Randy Orton has made his decision to go to SmackDown, and some Punk is going to be on SmackDown too. So, how do you guys want to hit this one? Who wants to go first on Randy Orton and Phil?
How about I go first on Randy? You go first on Phil, Sean? So I think this was a good move to put Orton on SmackDown and stuff, because especially with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline being there, you knew when Orton came back, that was going to be what he was going for. He was going to go for, you know, he was going to go take down the guys that took him out. And I mean, I know it looked like he made amends with Jay on Raw or during War Games and stuff. So, but I mean, I wouldn't put it past, you know, the writing team or whatever to, you know, Jay. I still think Jay's going to play a role in all this and stuff. Who knows when, but I think it's a good move to put him on SmackDown, especially with Punk coming back, because I think, and I'll talk about what Punk's going to do after Sean talks about it and stuff. But I mean, to me, I thought it was the right move to do, because I think Orton's needed more on SmackDown right now.
I think some ruggedly handsome tattooed guy said just last week that he was going to go to SmackDown and start KOing the entire Bloodline and make a run at the title. I don't remember who it was.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Man, please. 50% of the time, I'm 100% right. Don't even try that shit.
Well played. I like that. Good one.
But no, I mean, I really did. Like, the way he came in at Survivor Series and just the look of it and stuff, they're looking for somebody. They got to get somebody to fill in between now and Mania, right? Somebody that's got to torment Roman, somebody that's got to disrupt the bloodline. Randy Orton is just sick enough, just diabolical enough, just venomous enough that it's believable. I mean, come on, man. Everybody talks about, I know Roman's like this unbeatable machine now or whatever, but
Randy wrestles.
Randy Orton's been dropping motherfuckers for 20 years. There is nothing that's not legit about Randy Orton. And Randy Orton, yeah, a million.
He looks better than ever now.
Better than ever. I think,
yeah. And the one thing I'm gonna give you props on something about Randy Orton, Sean. So I think it was either last week or the week before we were talking about his different themes that he'd used, and you mentioned how you thought "Burning My Light" was his best one.
I said voices. I love voices.
Oh, voices. I thought you said "Burning My Light" was
your favorite. I said voices. No, I said voices.
Okay, well then I guess I can't give you props because I actually got to go with "Burning My Light."
Yeah, that's okay.
And stuff.
Yeah, no, Sean said he hears voices. He likes voices.
Yeah.
What say you, Jovan?
On Randall Orton, Randall Kenneth Orton. There you go, your RKO fans. That's where it came from.
I thought it was Keith.
Whatever.
It is. It's Randall Keith.
Yeah, Keith. It's close enough. Yeah, man. I mean, Sean called it. I guess it's a logical move to keep somebody having to play with the head of the table because apparently you can't have him just not doing anything, which he's been doing for the past couple years. Who is typing?
Nobody.
Who's fidgeting?
Sorry, it's me.
Jesus. It was right at the mic. It sounded like you were typing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Ew, it was a yellow one, too. Those are nasty. Anyway.
Pineapple, man. I love pineapple.
Oh, okay.
Pineapple's awesome.
Lemon. I thought it was the lemon one. The normal ones are lemon when they're yellow. Anyway, back to Randy Orton. I think it makes sense. I don't think Jey Uso gets involved. I think right now, main event, Jey is starting to get traction on his own. Yeah, he lost the Yeet because of fucking copyrights, which...
Some indie wrestler, I think.
You can't tell me that the WWE machine couldn't go to this indie fucking kid and was like, hey, bitch, we'll buy Yeet off of you. They could have done it if they wanted to. They just...
If he's trying to hold him up for a shit, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, like, dude. A ham and egg.
Like that dude with Andre's jacket.
Yeah. A Hammonegger would have given that up for the Yeet. But anyway, I think main event Jey Uso is doing enough on his own right now not to have to be included in the Bloodline story. Keep him away from it. Have Randy go through everybody else. That gives you what we got at Survivor Series, the forgiveness, the okay moment. Let leave him out. Have Randy go through the Bloodline. Have him. I would actually really, really interested in to see him and Solo because it would give me shades of him and Umaga.
Except I'll Randy be, wrestles circles around him.
I'll be honest with you, Jovan. I think that's what Orton does at Mania. I think it's Orton versus Solo at Mania.
Hey, man, I'm down. But yeah, no, definitely the right move for Randy Orton. I'm interested. It'll keep me watching SmackDown, which has been the better show for at least a while now. Hit it, Sean, with your boy, Charles Manfred.
I don't know. We're going to see what happens tomorrow night. He's going to be on SmackDown. I'm not really sure what's going on with that, unless they're just bringing him there so he can.
Well, it is tribute for the troops, so.
Well, okay, that would explain it then. I didn't realize it was that. I don't know, man. I think he's going to play the role of disruptor. That's what he does best. Punk is Punk, man. He's an enigma. I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I really, truly don't. But whatever it is, it's going to be awesome. The guy's he's a needle mover. Everywhere he goes, he makes money. He is also the number one merch seller for WWE and AEW currently right now. So yeah, think about that punk. Shit. Mark's think about that punk. Shit. Boy is making bank right now. I kind of want to see what happens with the Seth thing, but I do agree. I think Joey said last week, or was, I don't know if it was Joey or if it was Jovan, but you know, he's back. He's going to work with who he wants to work with. He's going to tell some stories. It's going to be awesome. I hope there's some Heyman interaction because I love those two together. I think it's a natural fit. Who knows? You know, I really do think it would be awesome to see a three-way between Roman, Lesnar, and Punk with Paul Heyman in the middle of all that. You know, you kind of got to see a little bit of that during the Lesnar-Roman Reigns match. You know, there was that one point where Paul throws the belt into the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Was he trying to give it to Roman? Was he trying to give it to Brock? Or was he just throwing it out there and going, whoever gets it, that's who I'm going home with? You know what I mean? Like, Heyman's just so good at what he does. And yes, I stole that from a podcast that I listened to today. But because that's what he said. That was the whole point of that. You know, when he was asked, well, what was you doing? I don't know. What was I doing? Was I trying to get it to Roman? Was I trying to get it to Brock? Or was I just throwing it out there and going, whoever gets it, take it home? You know, and that's for us to figure out and for us to decide. I have a whole new appreciation for Paul Heyman. Not that I didn't totally respect him and love him to begin with, but my favorite Punk was him with Heyman. I just think that the two of them together, it's just toxic and brutal and so fucking entertaining. And I still believe to this day that WrestleMania 29 was the best Taker match because he had it with, not of all time. Obviously, you got the matches with HBK and Triple H, so I'm not trying to step on that dick. But of the later matches that Taker had,
That was his last
really good match. And him, okay, and Punk had a really good match, and the story there was so great. Pouring, yeah, out Paul Bearer's ashes on him and, you know, doing old school. And that whole match, just everything about it was just awesome. Unfortunately, that was like almost the death knell for Punk, and it's probably part of the reason why he ended up leaving to begin with. But, you know, I'm just excited to see him back, man. Like, I know a lot of people are on the fence or whatever, and I get that, but, you know, that's my guy. I'm going to stand by him. I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to cheer him every chance I get.
Dennis Day Jr., go ahead.
So I think Punk being on Raw is the right thing to do here because it doesn't, you know, because it kind of, Punk's return kind of, I think, overshadowed Orton's return at Survivor Series and stuff. And I mean, that's, you know, I think no matter what, that was going to happen to Punk because, I mean, Punk is a much bigger, you know, name, I think, and no slight on Orton, Punk's a much bigger name in the business than Orton. Like Sean said, he's a needle mover. He's really the only true needle mover that this business has seen in the last, I'm going to say, 15, 20 years. And, I mean, you talk about polarizing. There's nobody more polarizing than CM Punk in this business. I mean, and I think, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, obviously, it looks like we're getting Punk versus Rollins at some point. I think we should get that. That's going to be, and I said this when we did our first show after Copeland's Bar and Grill. I said Punk versus Rollins is going to be your main night one WrestleMania main event, and I'll stick to it. I think that's what we're going to get. I think it's going to be a great match and stuff, you know, and I think if Punk stays on his best behavior and, you know, he's changed, like he said in his promo, everybody wins. Like WWE wins, Punk wins because he's going to be making all kinds of money, and most importantly, the fans win.
I don't want to do my Punk pipe bomb yet. I'm going to wait. I'm going to let this play out a little bit, but I have a Punk pipe bomb that I will do on this show because, unlike you guys, I am not a giant mark for CM Punk. I am not one of those guys who awaited lunch years for Skid this
mark?
Guy to come back to pro wrestling because he was the best thing ever. He spoke for the people. No, you marks.
Look, bro.
He was somebody that had a bad day.
I'm not gonna take shit from a fucking Cowboys fan, bro.
All I'm saying is you're going to have to hear about that too later. But I didn't disrupt you. You've been waiting
longer than 7 fucking years. Son of a bitch, just to do something.
I didn't interrupt you when you were sucking him off. I get to say what I want about him now. So, like I was saying, I'm not going to do my punk pipe bomb yet. I will wait and see how this plays out a little bit. But I do have one locked and loaded. As far as him being on SmackDown, I don't think we get another iconic pipe bomb type of thing from him. It's probably going to be more of, hey, look at me. I'm CM Punk. Here's the crowd. Oh, I'm all in the crowd. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a changed person, which, you know, after you've broken up with a girlfriend and then you get back with her, the first thing you say is you're a changed person, but you ain't changed shit. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm not going to go off on Punk too much right now. Everybody pretty much knows my feelings on him. And I'll wait a little bit to actually give a full Punk, pipe bomb-esque thing on why I don't get the appeal and why there have been better people. Like we've just now fucking said, Dennis just fucking said that a wrestler the caliber of Randy Orton, generational talent, a third generation superstar, bona fide fucking Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
And CM Punk, who in my opinion has not deserved anywhere close to a Hall of Fame induction yet.
Wow. Are you out of your fucking... You are completely just fucking starting shit now. There's no fucking way.
Stop me where I'm telling lies.
Two-time WWE champ. Two-time world champ. ECW champ, tag champ, intercontinental champ, US champ, AEW champ twice, Ring of Honor champ.
Put that against Randy Orton. Don't put in ROH and AEW.
Who's only worked in one fucking company.
This is why you can't talk to Punk fans. WWE only cares about what you've done in his company.
You're so full of shit. You're just trying to get me worked up. Fuck you.
He's not wrong. Sean's not wrong, though. I mean, Punk has been everywhere. Orton hasn't. But, I mean, and that's not a slight on either one of the guys. That's not what the
WWE Hall of Fame cares about. They're not going to look at your accreditation from other companies.
Okay. So, you're going
to
say that
Ken Shamrock worked 2 fucking years. He deserves to get in, but Punk ain't earned a...
I said he shouldn't get in. I didn't say he deserves to get in. I said he should not. Let
me make this point here. So, if the WWE... does not care about what wrestlers did outside of the WWE, then why are guys like Abdullah the Butcher and the Great Muta in the WWE Hall of Fame? They never worked in the WWE.
You're talking about legends that form the sport? Yeah, that's a bit different than CM Punk, buddy.
I gotta disagree with any of this one, a hot one.
Chicago people, I swear to God, think that this dude walks on water. That's okay. I'm going to leave it alone, but you're saying two-time. Randy Orton is a 10-time WWE champion. Four-time world heavyweight champion.
And again, and nobody's in. And nobody's
yeah, all together.
Nobody's saying, like, Sean's not downplaying Randy Orton's accomplishments.
No, and that's just the thing. You can't say that it stacks up to him and Apples.
Whoa. You're saying I'm not a Punk fan. He don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And that's fucking bullshit, and you know it.
I'm saying if you look apples to apples, bullshit. Randy Orton has had a better career than Punk.
That okay, so just because in the WWE...
In what fucking world?
Every company Punk's been
and he's rise to the fucking top. Randy Orton has never worked outside the WWE. He's never even been... to a different company before.
So that counts and against him because he's been loyal to one company.
No.
And he hasn't been canceled or labeled as a cancer
A little bit. A little bit. Because we had this conversation a few weeks ago and you agreed with me.
Did he leave?
That we shouldn't say that we didn't. Just not even very long ago, we talked about the Usos are a great tag team, but I'd like to see him go somewhere else and win titles there. Do we really know how great they are? And you agreed with me. And now you're saying
I get it. But no, I never said that the Usos didn't belong in there. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, I'm going to drive comparison. To Detroit and choke you with your fucking fro.
It's 5 hours up in the door open. No, because I mean, you have to listen to what I'm saying. You have to listen to how I'm saying it. Apples to apples, Punk to Orton. You can't tell me that Punk gets in over Orton. I don't think Punk is deserving over Randy Orton. And to me, that's I don't.
I didn't say he was deserving over Randy Orton. You're saying Punk don't deserve to be in it at all.
He don't. But it's okay.
You're out of your fucking mind.
You guys have your feelings. I know Punk is
completely out of your fucking mind.
Very hard person to talk about with people who love him and people who don't love him. That's fine. I get it.
And you know what? In my defense,
you get nothing because you like honky tonk.
You know what? Go fuck yourself. But anyways, as I was trying to say, I've come out and said, I like Punk. I'm not as big of a Punk fan as Sean or Joey K, but I've gone on record to say that I like CM Punk when this whole thing was and stuff. But I've also been critical. Like I said, Punk absolutely, with the issues with AEW, which we've all talked about ad nauseum and stuff. I'm just saying, and I think Sean's trying to say this too. He's not saying that Punk deserves to go in over Orton, because I wouldn't agree with that. I think Orton deserves to go in before Punk, but like Sean said, Punk deserves to go in too, because if it's just to me, I'm with the Sean on this one to a certain extent.
Well, we'll have to do a list by list, because Punk, I get everybody loves the guy. Punk is, what Daniel Bryan had for 1 year, Punk had for his whole run, because people really bought to the character, which is great. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to buy into the character. You're supposed to buy into the wrestler, and that's what makes him great. But
okay. You're just talking out your ass now.
I don't see it. I know you guys do. You love him. That's fine. You can love Punk all you want. I don't see it. In my opinion, I don't think he's deserving. You guys know he does. That's fine. Whatever. Hey, that's great. It's neither here nor there. So that's why I can't talk Punk on this show. I really can't. Cannot talk Punk.
Well, you could if you weren't being so fucking full of shit about it.
I could if I said what you guys like. He's the greatest wrestler ever. He's the best. He's the best in the world.
Whoa. Period. When have I ever said he was the greatest wrestler ever? I have never, ever said that. Not once.
I don't think any of us would ever say that.
Does it taste like Pepsi? That's
all I've ever said is he's one of my all-time fucking favorite wrestlers. That's all I've ever said.
Does it taste like
Dusty Rhodes is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. He wasn't the greatest worker in the world. He could work his ass off, but he wasn't like technically sound like Daniel Bryan or as smooth as Ric Flair. But could he put asses in the seat? Could he fill a house? Could he tell a fucking story? Yeah. Like Punk.
Exactly.
I'm not doing a Punk to Dusty Rhodes comparison because there's
well, there is no Punk to Dusty Rhodes comparison.
No,
none.
And I think if anybody has the authority to say something like that, it's Silver Wolf.
Yeah. Well, no, there's not a
comparison. Dude, it's very rare that me and you are getting along and agreeing more than me and Jovan.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, Sean.
Like you two live in Chicago.
Hey, Sean. I'm actually just as scared of that as you are, probably.
It's crazy. It's like the Chicago guys love Chicago made Punk. It's nuts. But to get off of CM Punk,
I don't know that Dennis loves him. I don't know that Dennis loves him. I think Dennis likes him because he met him and he was nice to Dennis.
But also, I appreciate what Dennis he's done for business.
Yeah, but Dennis has never been as big a Punk.
Dennis doesn't not like anybody. There's been a lot of people that Dennis probably shouldn't like. Oh, he likes.
There are people out there, maybe not in the world of pro wrestling, that I do not like. Javon, you know one of them. Actually, Dennis, know two of them, but I'm not going to name them.
Not to go here. I'm going to have to put you in timeout. Talking about timeout, gentlemen, let's go ahead and switch gears. I'm tired of talking about Punk and getting Sean's blood pressure raised and having that little vein on the side of his neck pop up.
No, I went to the gym. That's
had nothing. That's what it is.
That had nothing to do with your stupidity.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy. Bitch. I'm happy you felt good. Yeah, stupid bitch. There it is. It's been a couple of episodes.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had that. Where's the sound bite?
Yeah. Hell, it's never got recorded, so we'll have to use a live one. So yeah, you can only keep asking for so long before you just fucking
forget. Hey, I turned mine in weeks ago.
Oh, I know.
I have not done it yet. Yeah. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
He'll just call us a stupid bitch in person. Anyway, moving on to something bit better. Next week.
If it looks like a duck, talks like a duck.
It must be a stupid bitch. Next week, AEW is bringing in the Von Erichs to promote the new movie. Love you too, man. And to kind of get the boys out there, Ross and Marshall, who have been killing it in MLW, are going to hopefully get a tryout. I think Sean said he thinks it's going to be a tryout. I would love to see it be a tryout.
Oh, man.
But the Von Erichs in AEW, gentlemen, what are we thinking about that?
Go ahead, bud.
Sean, so for me, it's obviously it's a tie-in for the movie, which I think all of us are really excited to see. And from what I've been hearing, it's been getting really good reviews. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Sean, didn't Kevin Von Erich approve of the movie?
Well, I mean, he's the only Von Erich that could approve of the movie.
Well, but, I mean just they the have fact that he extended did, I mean, family, yeah. Daughters, wives, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But
no, I think it's a great. I mean, obviously it's in Dallas, so it's a perfect place to have them come in to promote the movie. And you know, hopefully, like I said, it is for a trout, because for our shooters out there, if you have not seen the Von Erich boys, Ross and Marshall, go do yourselves a favor, go on YouTube and find some of their stuff that they did in MLW. I believe they were in also Major League Wrestling. I believe they did some stuff with New Japan Strong as well too. And stuff. Yes, Sean and I have had the privilege of seeing him like live a couple times in Cicero.
Three times, and
they can go. Like, those boys are good, and they deserve a shot to succeed in AEW or, you know, the WWE, because I mean they've got the talent and stuff. So I mean it's going to be great. I'm interested to see how this, you know, what kind of role they play, if it's a one off thing or whatever. But I mean, why not? I mean, Dallas is Von Erich territory, and Tony Khan, I mean, despite, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're often very critical and rightfully so with some of the things that he's done. But I mean, he knows, like, when he's in certain towns, like, to put on stuff that are going to get the people out there. Like, they just announced recently that Sting's last match is going to be in Greensboro, North Carolina, the same place where he had his very first match with Ric Flair, which is essentially what put him on the map. I mean, he does have flashes of brilliance and stuff, and I think this is a smart move to bring the Von Erichs in while they're in Dallas next week.
You didn't say that right, dude. It's going to be in Greenville, North Carolina. Sorry.
All right, yapper.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I mean, I think it's the nostalgia of it. For those of us who are old enough to remember, and those of us who were raised in a household where they were gods, man. I mean, I don't, unless you were alive during that time, you will never truly understand how over these boys were. I mean, they were the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their show was pirated into India. That's how big they were, like the illegally transmitted and watched overseas. That's how big of an influence they had. And it wasn't just the boys wrestling. It was the things that they were doing in world class. They were first ones with multiple cameras. They had cameras in the ring. They were first ones to play entrance music for their performers. Yeah. The storylines that they did, you know, I mean, they sold out Texas Stadium. I don't know how many times. Texas Stadium for a wrestling show. Okay. That was not done. That was long before Vince ever thought about taking over the world. They were already doing it. I mean, Fritz Von Erich and his company down there, them boys were getting paid. They were making great money. And yeah, it's a tragic story. And that's what's so sad and sad about it, but also so compelling. It's like these guys had just the world by the tail, man. They could have done anything, went anywhere, accomplished so much. And just the pressure, I think, of a father that was kind of headstrong and, you know, raised in an era where that's where how you raise boys, and, you know, talented kids who are given way too much, way too early. You know, and I've seen Kevin's boys wrestle, like as Dennis said, in Major League Wrestling. They're a really talented team. They really are. They are the epitome of their dad, One of them wrestles barefoot, just like Kevin did. And he moves like Kevin. When you watch him wrestle, you see Kevin Von Erich flying through the air. And Kevin, of all the brothers, I know a lot of people, you know, that they say that David was probably the most talented, and I would have to agree with that. And Kerry was the most popular, but my favorite was always Kevin.
Yep.
Just, I mean, the guy just had this amazing body, an amazing wrestling ability, and he was just tough. Like, I mean, legit tough. I don't mean fake man, you know, pro wrestling tough guy. I mean, he was legitimately a tough man. And the proof of that is that he's the only one still alive. Yeah. While the rest of them couldn't deal, he could. So in one way, I'm kind of, you know, I feel like maybe it's Tony Khan. Yeah, he's kind of capitalizing on it, which is what Tony does, of the nostalgia around the movie and bring him in. I hope, I heard it was a tryout. I hope they get an opportunity to wrestle there. They're a talented young group of boys. They're a solid tag team. They could be solid singles wrestlers as well. You know, I mean, they definitely move like Von Erichs. That's a, for sure. And I know Jerry is super excited about it too, because yep. Jerry is a huge Von Erich mark like the rest of us. So, you know, I don't know what I'm more excited about, them being on AEW next Wednesday or actually getting to see the movie. I'm very, very excited to see the movie. And I hope it's I hope it's fair. I hope it's as good as what it looks like it's going to be, you know. In my opinion, this is the first major movie production, I think, as far as like based on a pro wrestling family. So how this movie does is going to determine whether we see other biopics of wrestlers that we love, you know, and there's numerous stories out there to tell. Rick and Dusty and Harley Race and, you know, just all the things that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah. But then being in AEW and getting an opportunity, I mean, there's a lot of good tag teams in AEW. I think they could come in. I think they can make the mark. I think the fans will love them, especially the women, because they're pretty cowboys, man.
Yep.
They're pretty Texan. You know, they look like cowboys. They're just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely Von Erichs through and through. So I'm really excited. And your mom's probably marking out like crazy right now, isn't she? With yep. the movie coming out and the boys wrestling next Wednesday and stuff. Because I know your mom's a big world-class fan, and she's very knowledgeable about their history. And there's so much history there, man. So much history that people, they will just never understand or grasp, you know.
Yeah, and it's
all
it's
the talent that came through that building.
It's something different, man, about growing up in Texas on the heels of the Von Erichs, right? Just there's people who probably have had the Iron Claw applied to them who have no idea what the Iron Claw is, but somebody has gotten you by the head in Texas at least once or twice and just held your ass there because of the Von Erichs.
Yep.
I mean, I fancy myself, you know, as a bit of a a historian. You know, you guys know how much I love the older stuff. And I'm unlike you guys, I really didn't grow up on World Class. So my knowledge of World Class is very limited. So that's kind of why I've taken a bit of a backseat and just listened to you two talk, because you guys really know what you're talking about when it comes to this. And as someone who's always looking to, you know, learn more about this business and its history and stuff, I love hearing stuff like this. And I'm excited to see the movie because I mean, you know, because I don't know as much as you guys. So this is going to be a bit of a learning experience for me. And I'm going to give you a quick little story here. So a few months earlier this year, or no, it was last year. I can't remember when. I think it was like about a year and a half ago, something like that. I was off work. You know, I just had my second knee surgery and I was itching to get out of the house. So a friend of the show and a really good friend of Sean and mine, Patrick, came to, you know, visit me and stay with me for a few hours and stuff, because, you know, I'd been cooped up in the house and stuff. Went out to lunch, you know, he drove me and we came back, and I watched for the first time ever the cage match with Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair, where Gordy slammed the door and, you know, which, you know, and Kerry's in on Kerry's head, which basically started the Freebird versus the Von Erichs feud. And
Christmas Eve, baby.
And I had never
Christmas Day.
And I had never seen that match in its entirety. Like, I'd seen clips of it, but I'd never watched the match in its entirety till that day. And it's just like, it was so like cool as a, you know, a 40, you know, a guy over 40 watching a match of such with such historical significance for the first time as a match like this. And just realizing and just thinking to myself, man, just if only I had been a fan back then and known about this, because like Sean said, the crowds and everything, it had to have been incredible.
Dude, I mean, they were rock stars. They were absolutely 100% rock stars.
Yeah, man, it's crazy the amount of people who may know the name but not really know much about the Von Erichs, right? And it's like Sean said, it literally is a tale of tragedy. And each one of those deaths, spoiler alert, each one of those deaths, the whole state felt them. You could see the processions at the funerals of these guys. Yeah. And we're talking miles upon miles of people, because what people don't understand, the Von Erichs grew up in the eye of the state of Texas, because the boys were athletes before they were wrestlers. They were always in the paper.
Yeah, hot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They were always – it wasn't a gimmick to them. It wasn't a gimmick to Texans, because we grew up with these kids who Fritz was – from a young age, these are megastars. These guys are star athletes. They're going to be big. They're going to be something. And you see these kids through high school. Now this one starts wrestling, and you know the family business is wrestling. So you know they're all going to end up there at some point. When is this one training? When is this one going to do – this one went to Japan and died. Damn. Everybody mourns. You come back, this one just died of this. Fuck. Everybody mourns. Then you know, this one went out and passed away. This one here is getting a shot at the world champion. The Yellow Rose of Texas, the one and only time that the state flower of Texas, which is the blue bonnet, was turned to the Yellow Rose, was for that. Know it or not. The Yellow Rose of Texas took over for that match against Ric Flair. And that's the thing is, I don't know if in other areas how they really got down, because I know Memphis, you see things how Lawler had Memphis bought into the Memphis promotion there. But the entire
state. Well, that's a different story altogether. Yeah, that Memphis promotion was. But Dallas was the launching point for all that shit.
Yeah, Dallas. The entire state lived and bred with WCCW, which was living off of the Von Erichs. And, I mean, it's not that the Von Erichs were the only big names in town, because, I mean, hell, we had Bruiser Brody, Kabuki. And for a lot of people who didn't know who Kabuki was when the Great Muta brought out a very old Kabuki, you break my hearts. But you've got the Iceman King Parsons, Kabuki.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Iceman King Parsons, baby.
Yeah, love me
Chris Adams. Gentleman Chris Adams. Chris Adams. Jimmy Garvin.
Oh, dude.
The Missing Link.
The Missing Link.
The Missing Link, bro.
All these guys coming out of WCCW was something else. And, you know, these guys were getting over, but the main show was the first family of Texas who really were the Von Erichs. Until, you know, the point of where it was just Kevin. Texas was Von Erich country, dude. But
and I think too, the reason why that, not only the boys dying, but I think the reason why it fell off, it just hurt. It hurt too much to watch.
Couldn't see it without.
I only lived in Dallas. Yeah, I only lived in Dallas for a very short time. Like, I mean, a very short time. It was like the beginning, the summer before my seventh grade year. And I think by spring break of that same school year, we had moved to Tucson. So I'm talking months that I lived in Dallas, just months. But in the short time that I was there, David passed. And I remember watching, because Friday night, 10 o'clock, Friday night from 10 to midnight, World Class Championship Wrestling, Saturday morning, from 9 to 11, World Class Championship Wrestling. Saturday night from 10 to midnight, World Class Championship Wrestling. And then Sunday, they had a two-hour show in the morning. I remember my whole family eating biscuits and gravy and watching, you know, World Class Championship Wrestling. So my mom, Sean, loved Kevin Von Erich.
Quick question for you, Sean. So you just mentioned, like, so quick question. So you mentioned about know, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Was it a repeat of the same show, or were they putting out like four different shows? Like, how was?
No, it was a different show. It was a different show.
Fritz taped.
They probably recorded the Sunday show. The Sunday show, I think, was through the week. So, like, they'd be in different parts of the state the rest of the time. But Friday and Saturday shows were in Dallas, no matter where they were, everywhere, the rest of the week. Friday night, Saturday, live at the Sportatorium. That place would be packed, bro.
Packed. It was a glorified barnhouse, dude.
Oh, dude, it was, yeah, it was, they call it the world thing. It was a stinky, rat-infested, it was like a fairground building. It wasn't
used for rodeos.
Hot as your ass hot. Yeah, I mean, it was hot, that like hot, hot. There was no air conditioning.
Yeah.
It stunk. It smelled like cigarettes and cigars and ass.
Wrestling fans?
Worse, because it had animal
There were so
smell.
Many people. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was a sale barn. There was cattle and horses and shit on the other side of the building. But I remember, like, I mean, the whole city mourned. Like, I remember the day they announced that David had passed. Like, it was heavy. Like, it was really heavy. And I remember watching that Sunday morning. Remember they did the videos, or they did the video clips of all the guys, you know, just broken up over David's passing. And they came to Michael Hayes, who at that time was the leader of the Freebirds, and the feud that these guys were wrestling each other every weekend, just beating the horse shit out of each other every weekend. It would either be Terry and Kevin or Michael and Karen, you know, I mean, just like they were mixing the three of them up, or they would be a six-man match. They'd be best two out of three falls. And they'd just be, I mean, they'd come back from a commercial after one fall, and the boys would just be sitting on the turnbuckle waiting to start the match again. Remember? It was just like, I mean, they went, bro. I mean, the last hour would be the Freebirds and the Von Erichs in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And it was hate. They did vignettes of like them going out to dinner and just, I mean, it was so ahead of its time. You have to go back and watch, like, go to YouTube and just pull it up. Like, just type in Von Erich Freebirds and see what pops up. You're going to see just the history of it. But I remember, I mean, and Ric Flair talked about David's passing and talked about how he was going to be a future NWA champion and da 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 da. And they came to Michael Hayes, who was not PS then. He was just Michael Hayes. And he said something along the lines of, like, I'm really sorry that this happened and da 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 da, but I can't say that this is going to end our feud with the Von Erichs. I mean, he
kept it
even in the death of David Von Erich, they made him stay kayfabe.
Yeah.
And he was crushed. If you watch the World Class Championship documentary on the network.
Yep.
If you haven't watched that yet, watch it.
It's great.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again.
You're gonna have to. There's a point in there where they were talking about, you know, talking to Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin about, like, how'd you guys feel when Kerry won the title? Were you happy for him? Da, 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 da. And Michael Hayes said, like, we really didn't care. We just missed David.
Yep.
I mean, there was a legitimate friendship there. You don't kick the shit out of each other for a year and a half straight and not end up being friends, man. They just had so much respect for each other, which is why it was such great storytelling.
2 years kicking each other's ass over the microphones. Yeah. That's why we're friends.
For sure, man. You gain a respect for each other, man. You do. Yeah. You do. I mean, think about all your greatest feuds in history. Rick and Dusty, love each other.
Yeah.
Love each other. Edge and John Cena, love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really count anything Hogan did because they all hated Hogan, but
they
you
know always what I'm talking about. Hogan, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, everybody will tell you if they're friends in wrestling, you're going to go harder.
You're going to go harder because they're your friends. You know, you can trust them. You know, you're not going to get hurt. And I think at one point, one of them said, and I don't remember who, but I mean, and they work, dude. They work stiff.
Yep.
World Class was not a joke. You talk about strong style in Japan. They were doing that shit in the 80s. They were beating the shit out of each other. Their only rule was, don't break my teeth and stay away from my eyes. That was it.
Yep.
That was it. Other than that, it was fair game. I mean, go back and watch those matches, dude. They're stiff as shit.
Yep.
They beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, stay away from my eyes.
Sorry, man. I can talk. I can talk about this world class shit.
We're gonna do an old school night one day. We gotta do a
world class night, man. I'd love to do a world class night. I think it'd be awesome.
Dennis will have to watch some world class so he can get into it, man. There's a lot of good stuff out there in world class. It's on the network. Just start watching some episodes.
I'm gonna watch that. I'm gonna watch some of that, and I'm gonna watch that documentary again.
Get you some. You watch the documentary, Missing Link.
Watch the documentary, bro, and then just go on YouTube and just start pulling shit up. I'm telling you.
All right.
Some good stuff.
You'll go down a rabbit hole. I swear to God you will. And no, Dennis, there's guys there that you'll love because you like those kind of gimmicky, like the Missing Link.
The Missing Link.
The guy was like 6'8", and I mean carved out of stone.
I've seen pictures of him. Yeah, he looked intimidating.
And his gimmick was he had shaved head and then he had a ponytail and he would grab his hair and like headbutt people and just knock them the fuck out. He was a monster and agile as fuck.
If you're a fan of world class wrestling out there, I'll give you a little bit of Too Hottie trivia. Too Hottie's grandmother, my mother's mother, at one time could have almost got married to a wrestler that wrestled in the WCCW time frame.
Yeah.
He was a Spanish guy.
Who?
Not going to give out any names, but in WCCW, you know, Mexican wrestlers, very, very Mexican looking. Yeah, there's a handful, so you'd probably be able to hammer it down on which one it was. So there you go.
Did he happen to train HBK?
I mean, who knows, man? Who trained HBK anyway?
Pedro, no.
Oh, no. It wasn't Pedro.
Jose Lothario.
Jose Lothario.
Nope, but there's a I'll give you that, man. He was a main eventer a few times as a touted as a world champion who went in there and faced a couple of the Von Erich boys too in WCCW. First name Al, if you got that.
Al Perez?
Not Al Perez.
No, Al Perez was
next.
Al Perez
wasn't Al. No, Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the offshoot, ladies and gentlemen. Our final thought segment of the night. Who wants to start on the offshoot?
Who was going last again?
Me. I'm going last again.
The Sean, would you like to go first?
the punk hater.
Thanks, buddy.
I can, man. Yeah, I kind of want to make up for like embarrassing myself last week. So
you didn't embarrass yourself.
Don't ever apologize for being real.
Yeah,
you being you and the real you is all that we need.
Yep.
Was it Angel? Was it Angel Blanco?
Was that Angel Blanco? Are you looking up names?
Yeah.
Was it Hector Guerrero?
It was Al Madrew.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have been 100% basic in them, brother.
100%. But then we may have not gotten the Jovan that we're stuck with.
Grandma almost got the LD. Wow, that's crazy.
Every time I watch some old school WCCW, I'll snap a pic of him and send it to my grandmother and be like, hey, you know this guy? And she goes, stop. I'm like, okay.
Grandma gave it up. Grandma gave it up.
A lot of stories about that. Let's not get into that one. We'll be here all night.
Grandma got run over by a wrestler.
Working Bell Bonds down in Dallas Street. Anyway.
Over the last...
Sorry.
That's okay, buddy. Shit. Over the last couple weeks, I've been consuming wrestling. Just I don't know why. Like I say, when I go through these times, it really does even me out. It makes me feel better. And with the new movie coming out, like I've been watching a lot of the old stuff, and I'm really, really excited. I hope we do get to do a world-class show. I wouldn't mind doing a two-part show on that. I think there's enough information there and enough stuff to talk about that, you know, once we get everybody up to speed on what it was and what it meant, that, you know, it would be
it would be a good time and very informational for some people who just don't know that, you know, these guys were, you know, rock stars before pro wrestling became mainstream like it is now. But when I think about all that stuff, like all this stuff takes me back, man. Like I'm a Dusty Rhodes fan because of the Hard Times promo. You know, it was a part of my life that I remember. You know, it happened on my birthday and da 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 da. I'm a punk fan because I was trying to get clean and a friend of mine introduced me to punk. And my sobriety kind of sprung from that. So, you know, it really isn't always just about the fact that I feel like he's a great wrestler and a great promo and all that other stuff. There's other stuff there too. If I ever get a chance to meet him, I'll probably embarrass myself and just thank him because he gave me a reason to stay clean, at least that day. And then I look at, you know, Randy Orton coming back and Triple H taking over and running WWE and just the history. There's so many memories and so much stuff that's happened that for my life, I can always go back to that time in my life and what was going on transversely in the wrestling world to my personal life, because it's always interwoven and connected. And when I think about this time, like this time currently right now, 10 years from now, when I'm, you know, a much older man and I'm looking back on it and hopefully we are in our, you know, second 3-year contract with Sirius XM or somebody making good money, you know, making a living doing this, I can look back on this time and go, you know, this was a turning point for me to where I went from somebody, you know, who, you know, very grateful for my life, man. I am, you know, I'm blessed. I truly am blessed. My kids are healthy. My grandbabies are healthy. You know, I love my wife. She loves me. You know, my stepkids think I'm pretty damn cool. And that's saying something. I got a lot of great friends. I got a lot of people around me who care for me and love me, which is not something that I had 10 years ago, you know, and that all sprung from my relationship and my friendship that I made with Dennis. And it all brought me to this point. And if it wasn't for that stuff, like, I don't know, you know, who I'd be or where I'd be at, but I know now that I'm finally at a point in life where, you know, for the longest time, like I didn't feel like I deserved it because I was still kind of carrying around all this stuff from years past. But, you know, just you go through these things, man, and they break you down. They just do, and that's life. I'm not, you know, singular in that. I know it affects everybody differently. We all have our things. And it's kind of opened my eyes to, you know, yes, there was a lot of negative in the past, but there was good stuff there too. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I had 5 great kids. I got grandbabies. I've met some wonderful people along the way. And did I make mistakes? Yeah. Did I let them down? I did, but I'm no different than a lot of people. In the sense of, you know, I must be doing something right. You know, I mean, I get to do this every week with my friends, my brothers. I got another brother in Indiana that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago didn't even knew he existed. And I have one now. I have another brother up close that this lives right over by Dennis, like right over there. That's taken me a lot longer to earn that friendship. But it was a friendship that I wanted to earn, and I'm glad that I got to. And then, you know, Jovan and Joey, getting to meet these guys and just, like, having them as part of my life. And as friends, not just, you know, we don't just do this once a week, man. We talk every day.
This show is always going on.
And trust me, some of that shit's funnier than what we put on the screen, so.
Oh, my God.
Just for the record. But, you know, I'm pretty lucky, dude, man. I'm pretty lucky, dude. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful for what I have. And I don't take that for granted, and I'm not going to ever. You know, we do this, you know, we do it because it's fun. We do it because we love it. And we do it because we hope that somebody out there is listening and somebody can see that we're not just a bunch of jackasses. Like, we really do know what we're talking about. We do. You know, it might come off like bullshit sometimes, but when it gets down to brass tacks, everybody on the screen, even the one who's not here, all know what the fuck we're talking about. You know, we love this shit. We love it. And we wouldn't debate it as passionately as we do if we didn't. So every week that we get to do this is just another week of doing what we love to do. So thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. We hope there's more of you. We really are trying to bring the best content that we can bring and do it in a way that's different from everybody else. You know, you're not going to see us interviewing people. We're just not, I mean, it's just, we talk too much shit about everybody. I don't know that anybody want to come on our show and be interviewed by us, you know, but I just, you know, we're different, man. We're just different. I'm me. Joey's obviously him. Jovan's always going to be that guy. And Dennis is who he is, man. And I love him for it. This is not a joke. It cannot be easy walking through life as optimistic as that man is. It just can't be. I guarantee you he's been let down more times than he's let other people down. And I know because I've been one of those guys that have let him down in the past. I've done it. So all the respect in the world to that guy. All the respect in the world to Joey. You know, we have lives, man. We all have shit. We all have shit. And we're all just doing our best to get through it. And if doing this every week brings anybody a little entertainment and stuff, then I'm going to keep on doing it.
Yep. I'm not letting you start again because I'm not going to follow that bullshit every week.
I got to follow it this week. So
it's what I do, man. You know,
so, with the feelings.
In the words of Roseanne Barr, words are kind of my thing.
So I want to talk about something real quick that Sean mentioned about us knowing the shit that our shit, like we know what we're talking about. The five-star trivia machine, it's not just a gimmick with me. Sean can vouch for it, Jovan can vouch for it. That's legit. I've actually got a WWE Hall of Famer that would vouch for the five-star trivia machine. Sean knows who I'm talking about.
Should be too. Whoop.
Mark Henry, baby.
Yep.
Should be too with the Godfather.
Yep, that too.
Yeah.
And stuff. So
you kind of pissed him off though, didn't you? A
little bit.
Oh, that was fun though. Oh, that was fun.
How many hoes did I come out with? Like, motherfucker, what?
Oh, I think it started off when the first question that was asked was his entry number in the 1993 Royal Rumble. And I nailed it because I just actually watched that match. Like, I would not even know when that was going to be asked. Like, I watched that match probably maybe a couple weeks prior, so it was fresh in my head. And he just was like, the look on his face when I nailed it exactly was priceless. But going to what I was talking about, and if you guys, you two may have seen this, you ever check out my Facebook page, because this is something that I talked about last Saturday night. So this past Saturday night, I went to an independent wrestling show, Rocket Pro Wrestling in Joliet, Illinois. With a friend of mine that I've known since high school, Greg, and his cousin Kendra, who had never been to an independent show. So this was her first show. And she had so much fun, and it was just really cool seeing someone, a new fan of independent wrestling born and all that and stuff. But I wanted to take a minute to talk about, I've said this before to you guys, and I've said this out, and I'll say it all the time. Whenever someone that I consider a friend gets to live out a dream or do something that they've always wanted to do, I'll be the first one up there supporting them with everything that I can. And I actually got to see that Saturday night. Friend of mine who I've gotten to know, you know, in various Facebook groups and online, and I've run into him a couple of times at like fan fests and shows and things like that. So a friend of mine, his name is Pat Ackerman. He's part of this fan group that goes to the Rocket Pro Wrestling shows. They're called the Lovely Intoxicated Men. And it's just a group of fans. You know, they go to shows all the time. They like to drink a few. They like to drink old styles and stuff, you know, and just have a good time. They're very respectful of the business. You know, they don't try to make it about themselves and things like that. They're very respectful and they get a lot of interaction with the talent. Well, my friend Pat actually got to participate in his very first professional wrestling match this past Saturday as part of a 6-man tag team match. And it just from the moment when like he came out, like all his buddies and his group, they were part of the entrance. They did like, you know how the Undertaker would usually have the druids with the torches and stuff. He had all his friends out with their arms stretched out and they had old style cans they were holding up. And like he got, you know, he had wrestling gear on. He got an entrance video. He came out to I Don't Want to Stop by Ozzy Osbourne, which is a pretty good song.
It's a and great stuff. Song.
And it just and like he didn't in like he wasn't in there like, you know, throwing hip tosses and bicep. He was in there just enough to get, you know, to do his parts and stuff. And I kid you not, there was a spot where he was in the midst of this guy in the ring with this one guy. And, you know, he did the whoa. So he goes to the corner, grabs a couple of beers, and they each chug a beer in the middle of the ring. And then in true Stone Cold Steve Austin style fashion, as soon as his opponent, as soon as they finish their beer, my buddy Pat kicks him in the stomach, drops him with a really, for a guy who's never been in the ring, a stunner that looked pretty damn good. And actually, and you know, the other guy did the, you know, with the beer spitting out of his mouth as he's falling backwards, you know, that all the guys used to do when they would drink a beer with Austin. But then at the end of the match, you know, he hit a stunner on another guy and got the 1-2-3. And I kid you not, that whole arena was unglued for, and this was just for a fan. This wasn't like a regular professional wrestler. This wasn't like someone like they brought it, like, you know, someone that used to wrestle in the WWE that they brought in to move tickets and stuff. And it was just really cool to see someone I consider a friend getting a chance to live out a dream, like in something, because he got to do something that like me, you know, and Jovan, Sean's had a little bit of training in this and stuff, but something that deep down inside we would all love to do. And it was the coolest thing. And I remember talking to him after the show and just being like, dude, I'm so happy for you and everything. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my friend Pat for being able to live out a dream this past Saturday night at a show. And then on another note with Rocket Pro Wrestling, probably one of the most professional looking independent promotions I've ever seen, from the way they had the venue set up to where they do the commentary, their, you know, their gorilla position and just the video board where they play the entrance videos and the entrance. I mean, one of the more professional looking setups I've ever seen. And I actually talked with the guy that owns the company. His name is Bill Shelley. And I just said to him, I said, this is so professional. We had a blast. I can't get over how professional it looked. And it just says, you know, he told me like straight up, he's not making money off this because all the money he's getting from these shows, he's putting back into it. And it really shows. And it's just, if any of our shooters out there, if you're in the Joliet area or around it, you know, whenever I believe Rocket Pro's next show is like the, I want to say it's like the 12th or 13th, like the first or second weekend in January. Go check him out. It's because it's a damn good show, man. But shout out to my boy Pat for being able to live his dream.
That's awesome, dude. He had one match and he stole Steve Austin's finisher.
I mean, who you else would you take? It's a hell of a finisher.
It is. And like you said, and it looked good. Like he didn't like, it wasn't like one of these crappy ones. Where he, I mean, like, excuse me. It was, I was really, for what he, for someone who hadn't had a match, he did just enough, you know, I don't think he stepped on anybody's toes. I don't think he disrespected the business in any way, shape or form. I don't think anybody on the opposing team came out, you know, looking, you know, bad or anything like that and stuff. It was just an all around, I think it was very well done.
Man, if there's any little promotions or any good, you know, any promotions out there that want the boys to shoot shit to get into a ring for a Royal Rumble style match, I'm fucking down, bro. I'll take a bump or two and fuck, I'll go through a table. I think we said this before. I'll go through a table. I don't give a damn.
I think Joey K would be the first one to put you through that table.
Well, I mean, his short ass can try. He's not here right now, so I can make that shot. Gentlemen, it's my turn.
That's I'm what happy. You call it. Hey, shoot before you go, Javon. Shooters, that's what you call a segue.
Cheap pop. Well, I told you guys earlier tonight that I was going to tell you why Joey K isn't here. And the answer is quite easy. Hold on. Let me get my Joey K. Oh,
breaking news.
No. I'm going to let you start. No. I just, want to, you're going to do this. You know, when he hears this, he's going to rip your fucking ass off next week.
He can try.
Okay. Go proceed. The floor is yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
To get back into my groove.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to get into my Joey K-ness. Now, unfortunately, unlike Joey K, I do not own mason jars to drink out of. But I have a big cup that kind of looks like a mason jar. So, cheers, looks like, Joe.
Looks like a urine specimen jar.
It's actually a really big, like, oats jar. Mm-hmm. But
looks like the cups I make my smoothies in every morning.
So it's exactly what they are. And unlike Joey K, I don't eat macaroni and cheese out of the pot. But I do have some quick oats, you know, some malto meal, because I do love me good hot cereal in the morning. I do have some that was made this morning. So, you know, Joe, delicious.
Hey, Sean, you got some popcorn?
Yeah. Buddy, I can eat out of pots. I could drink out of glasses that aren't really glassware too, Joey. And look here. We all know why you're not here, buddy. We know. Because Sunday night, Joey K.
Sunday night.
Dallas, Texas. The Cowboys are going to put hard times on the Philadelphia Eagles, baby. Philadelphia just got their heinies beat. Like it's never been beat before, Daddy. It's Sunday night in Dallas, Texas. The Dallas Cowboys are going to do it again, Daddy. So, Joey K, I hope you're ready. And to all my shooters out there who don't like the Philadelphia Eagles, put your hand out with me right now. Dennis is already there with us. Put my hand out and know that we are here together, baby. We are here to beat the Eagles. We are here.
The worst Dusty I've ever heard in my life.
The brotherly shove. We are here to ensure that the NFC East goes to the Cowboys, Daddy. Now, Joey K, I'll rate your response next week on Shooting Shit right here from Detroit, Michigan. Hit the music.
Now, if that ain't a reason to watch next week, I don't know what is.
Sorry. Legends of the Ring Sting, man. This is a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the Shooting Shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
He Attention wrestling fans and fans of Shootin' Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.